Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, today we are really fortunate to have His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from 5.20.42 and 43. So Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavas Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you Prabhuji for giving your valuable time and association in this conference call. We are really fortunate to hear from you. Before I hand over the call to you, Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji to give a brief introduction. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Today, we are so fortunate to have with us His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhuji. He is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He completed BTech and MTech from IIT Mumbai in 2001, and then he worked in IT for 2 years. However, his heart became attracted to Krishna consciousness, and since 2003, he has been serving in the Brahmachari Ashram of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. He has served in the Sikh devotee care and deity departments. He has also served in the education department since 2013 and does youth preaching and congregation preaching as well. Prabhuji is a teacher of Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav, and he has been teaching in Bhaktivedanta Vidyapit, Govardhan Eco Village in Wada, Mumbai. Hare Krishna, welcome to the call, Prabhu. So sweet to see you again.
Thank you, Mataji, for that brief introduction. Looks like Prabhu is on the call. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, you're there on the call. We can't hear you. We can't see you, Prabhuji. Kijay. Thank you, Prabhuji, for joining Bhakti Sangha conference call and giving your valuable association. And we are really eager to hear from you on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from 5.42 onwards. Hare Krishna. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Saram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Nashtaprayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachadya Veshadharine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 20, text number 42. Yontar Vistara Yetena Yaloka Parimanam Cha vyakhyatam yad bahir lokachalat tatap parasthat yogeshwaragatim vishuddham udaharanti. Word to word translation, yaha, that which, anta vistharaha, the distance inside the Lokaloka mountain, etena, by this, he indeed, aloka parimanam, the width of the tract of the land known as aloka varsha, cha, and vyakhyatam, described, yat, which, bahi, outside, Loka Loka Achalat, beyond Loka Loka mountain, Tataha, that Parasthat, beyond Yogeshwara Gatim, the path of Yogeshwara, in penetrating the coverings of the universe. Vishuddham, without material contamination, Udaharanti, they say. Translation, my dear king, outside the Loka Loka mountain, is a tract of land known as Aloka Varsha, which extends for the same breadth as the area within the mountain. In other words, 125 or 1 billion miles beyond Aloka Varsha is the destination of those who aspire for liberation from the material world. It is beyond the jurisdiction of the material modes of nature, and therefore it is completely pure. Lord Krishna took Arjuna through this place to bring back the sons of the Brahmana. Text 43. Anda madhyagata suryo dhyava gumyoryadantaram Suryanda Golayor Madhye Kotyasyu Pancha Vimshatihi. Anda Madhyagati, Anda Madhyagata, situated at the center of the universe, Surya, the sun globe, Dyav Abhumyo, the two planetary systems, Bhurloka and Bhuvarloka, Yat, which, Antaram, in between, Surya of the sun, Anda Gola Yoho, and the globe of the universe, Madhye, in the middle, Kotya, groups of 10 million, Suhu, or Pancha Vimshatihi, 25. Translation and purport to His Divine Grace, S.T. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The sun is situated vertically in the middle of the universe, in the area between Bhur Loka and Bhuvar Loka, which is called Antariksha, outer space. The distance between the sun and the circumference of the universe is 25 or 2 billion miles. The word koti means 10 million and a yojana is 8 miles. The diameter of the universe is 50 or 4 billion miles, 50 koti yojanas. Therefore, since the sun is in the middle of the universe, the distance between the sun and the edge of the universe is calculated to be 2 billion miles. Hare Krishna. So, Shukdev Goswami is continuing the description of the Bhumandala. So, he is explaining the Lokaloka mountain. So, Lokaloka mountain is the mountain which separates the two tracts of land. So inside the Lokaloka mountain, different living entities live. But outside the Lokaloka mountain is the Aloka Varsha. So in this Aloka Varsha, nobody stays there. So Lokaloka mountain extends for the same distance as the total diameter of the mountain range. And distance outside the mountain range is the same as the distance from the Meru mountain to the far edge of the Lokaloka mountain. So in the Bhumandala, the center, there is a Meru mountain. So from Meru mountain to the Lokaloka mountain, whatever distance is there, the same distance is there outside the Lokaloka mountain till the edge of the Bhumandala. From the Lokaloka mountain to the edge of the Bhumandala, whatever distance is there, same distance is actually there inside the from the Lokaloka mountain to the Sumeru mountain. Basically, Lokaloka mountain is like in the from the Sumeru mountain, if you go, like it is in the middle. And then beyond that, there is the Aloka Varsha. So the dimensions are given. And the sun is situated in the middle of the universe, in the area between Bhurloka and Bhuvarloka. So the area between Bhurloka, Bhuvarloka and Bhuvarloka is called as Antariksha, outer space. So in the middle, sun is there. And the distance between the sun and the circumference of the universe is about basically 2 billion miles. So essentially, the description is talking about the Bhumandala. As we have been going through this description, the Bhumandala, seven dvipas are there: Jambu dvipa, Kushad dvipa, Plakshad dvipa, Shalmali dvipa. And within the Jambu dvipa, the different nine tracts of land are the Ilavrata Varsha, Bharata Varsha, Kimpurusha Varsha, Uttara Kuru Varsha, Hari Varsha. And then these dvipas are separated by the different types of the ocean: salt ocean, sweet water ocean, sugarcane ocean, ocean of liquor, ocean of ghee, ocean of honey. So at the far end is the Lokaloka mountain. Within the Lokaloka mountain is a place where the living entities stay in the Bhumandala. Outside the Lokaloka mountain is the Aloka Varsha. And beyond the Aloka Varsha is the place where those who attain liberation. Beyond the Aloka Varsha, the destination of those who aspire for liberation from the material world. Yogeshwara Gatim Vishuddham. That means those who aspire for liberation from the material world, they go to the place beyond the Aloka Varsha. So, Krishna, when he wanted to actually search for the sons of the Brahmanas who were stolen by Mahavishnu, he took Arjuna through the Lokaloka mountain. He took Arjuna through that Aloka Varsha, which is beyond the Lokaloka mountain. So the sun rays, they fall till the Lokaloka mountain. But beyond the Lokaloka mountain, sun rays do not fall. There's complete darkness. But Krishna took Arjuna through that region. But he produced light through his Sudarshan Chakra, through the effulgence. And so we see this actually descriptions here. So in this fifth canto, in this particular section, especially the detailed description of this the cosmology is presented. Some of these dimensions, they may appear that how can such huge mountain can be there. So these are actually sometimes they challenge our faith. It is said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, someplace he mentioned, I don't know exact reference, but I have heard that. So this description in the fifth canto is like the doorway to enter the Ajamil story, which contains the glories of the holy name. So before the glories of the holy name, in the sixth canto beginning, there is this description in the cosmology comes. So this is like a doorway, because this description also challenges our faith about these dimensions, ocean of sugarcane juice, all these different types of oceans. So like, just like for example, sometimes different things in the Shastra, they challenge our faith. because we are used to, we have been conditioned by certain type of educational system, or we have been brought up in a certain environment from the childhood. We had been exposed to certain things. And then when a person comes in contact with the Shastra and spiritual life, different aspects of the spiritual life, sometimes they pose a challenge to our faith. Just like, for example, suppose you go to a nearby railway station, whichever country you are in. Suppose somebody in the railway station is selling so iPhone 13 Pro Max. For 10 rupees, we give 5 iPhones. iPhone Pro Max 13, latest iPhone, whichever is the latest iPhone. For 10 rupees, 5 iPhones. For $2, 5 iPhones. If somebody is selling like that, will you believe it actually? It will immediately pose a challenge to your faith, because you have been used to buying the, my phone is the most expensive phone. You have been used to certain thought process. You have been used to how people say buy the phone with a certain, only a people who are maybe wealthy, they buy the phone. Or suppose somebody sells, you are going in some platform shop and somebody is saying that, so we are selling the Aston Martin car. Five cars for $15. Five cars for 20 rupees. If somebody is selling like that, you will think maybe it's some doll he is selling. Actually, even the dolls don't come for, five car dolls also will not come for $15 or 15 rupees. That will also be costly. But if somebody is selling like that, then you will see that, oh, this is a, you just make that, these people are making fun of us, these are cheating us. You will not pay any attention. You may even put a case, oh, these people are cheating the people by misguiding them. So sometimes different things in the Shastra, they challenge our faith. Like in the sixth canto, when you see the Ajamil story, the holy name, it is mentioned that one holy name can eradicate more sins than a person can commit. So these statements are there in the Shastra. One may think like, oh, these are all exaggerated statements. Just like the person who is selling the 5 iPhones for 10 rupees. So similarly, when we hear these dimensions, Loka Loka mountain, the dimension of this radius and the area, sun is situated here. So these appear to be, they may challenge our faith. Different things in the Shastra, for example, a person may come to Krishna consciousness. When we talk about Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, the main subject of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that, or the main, or we can say the only subject of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to speak about the glories of Krishna and the process of bhakti, how to attain love for Krishna. Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham Navanamikalakshanam. It is said that there are 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. Out of that, the 10th topic is the Ashraya Tattva, that is the Supreme Lord Krishna. So the 9 topics are presented in order to describe the 10th topic, that is the Krishna, about Krishna. So in one sense, Bhagavatam is about only one topic. It is only speaking about the Ashraya Tattva, about Krishna, how to develop love for Krishna. Prabhupada says in a purport, Bhagavatam is only teaches love for Krishna. But in the course of the Bhagavatam, we also, the course of reading the different sections of the Bhagavatam stories, and also especially while reading the different purports of Prabhupada, there are different auxiliary topics which come, which may challenge our faith and which can create certain doubts depending on the particular conditioning of that person. For example, like somebody who is coming in the, say, from a background of devata worship, he was used to worshipping certain devatas. And then even in the Gita course, when a preacher presents about one god or many gods, the subject of devata worship, that becomes very sensitive, especially in India, those who come from the background of devata worship. So that topic can become like a that session has to be taken very cautiously, because many times people's sentiments are challenged. The sentiments are broken when they hear, so they have been worshipping a particular devata, and then when they hear, oh, Krishna is the supreme lord, oh, these devatas are assistants, or less intelligent people worship the devatas for material benefits. Sometimes there are many such statements are there. When they hear such statements, that time their faith is challenged, and sometimes the people leave also. Oh, this cannot be possible. How can they call me as less intelligent? I was worshipping this particular devata. But somebody who does not come from the background of devata worship, like in the Western culture, or people from West or Westernized background, okay, they anyway did not have any devata worship. So when they hear repeatedly purport after purport about devata worship, so they don't, for them, it does not affect them, because they didn't come from that background. And another conditioning, like some people may come from the background of some scientific field, so they were used to like learning, they had a lot of faith in the science, and sometimes when they come across like some in one sense, sometimes it is easy to put faith in the, say, holy name or Krishna, because it is from one point of view, it is easy, because it is a blissful process, and then holy name, Krishna, the spiritual world, something which is beyond the material world. It does not challenge one's previous conditioning. But suppose certain subject matters like devata worship or certain scientific findings, Prabhupada sometimes talks about the moon landing, or somebody is coming from the scientific binding, suppose somebody comes from modern astronomy, and then when he hears these descriptions of the Vedic cosmology, their faith will get shattered. How can this be true? And they may say, this is all mythological books. But somebody who doesn't come to some scientific background, for them, these descriptions will not make, will not stir their hearts, because they don't have the condition. Or somebody else may come from the background of some deep caste system based. Suppose somebody is coming from a certain, say, Brahminical family, and then when they see that say Prabhupada gave Diksha, Brahman Diksha, to people from the West, so then that particular act or that particular system, they challenge that, how can you give Brahman Diksha to people from the West who are not from the Brahman family, and this thing. So then they find it difficult to accept that. They may not have difficulty in other aspects. So depending on the particular background a person is coming from, depending on the particular upbringing a person is coming from, different auxiliary topics in the Shastra, different auxiliary topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they challenge the person's conviction. Or somebody may be having a coming from the background of having lot of degrees in the modern education. One may have different degrees on, say, M.Tech or M.S. or Ph.D. And sometimes you will come across Prabhupada's statements like condemning the modern education or the slaughterhouses. once Radhanath Swami Maharaj was just sitting with some group of devotees from IIT, and Maharaj said that from the spiritual point of view, IIT is the most miserable ghetto. Huh. So this is a very strong statement actually. But suppose, so those who come from that, those who are maintaining their pride in the modern education, there at that time, this kind of statements will be a challenge to their faith, because they are having that pride in that particular educational degrees actually. Or suppose somebody comes from a certain background of say feminist culture or something like that. So when they feminist concepts, when they hear certain statements of the Varnashram principles or say the role of women or something like that, these are all auxiliary topics. The main topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam is how to develop love for Krishna. But these auxiliary topics do come in the different sections of the Bhagavatam, especially in the purports of Prabhupada. So when they hear such topics, then at that time their faith is challenged. So these are all different topics, like somebody comes from a Vaishnava background, but he is used to the idea that Vishnu is the source of Krishna. And then suddenly when they hear in Mahaprabhu's teachings, oh, Krishna is the source of Vishnu, so then at that time their faith is challenged. So in that way there are various topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially some of these auxiliary topics, which can challenge different people's faith and condition based on the particular conditioning of that person, based on the background in from which the person is coming. So when we actually when we preach to people, it is not that we deliberately touch upon these topics in order to agitate the people, especially in the beginning. Suppose somebody is coming from a say background of very good, say a lot of degrees in modern education, it is not that in the very class, first class, we speak about so modern education as a slaughterhouse or something like that. So then that will be like a big leap of faith. That will be like a very big bitter pill which the person has to swallow. Because if every person comes from a different conditioning, and then or somebody, as I mentioned, somebody comes from a certain certain scientific background. Once Prabhupada, actually one devotee was speaking with Prabhupada, and then he told Prabhupada that I was speaking to certain scientists, or I was speaking to certain group of people, I presented this Vedic cosmology from the Bhagavatam, but then those people raised so many objections on this topic from the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada said, Bhagavatam has many topics. Out of all the topics in the Bhagavatam, did you get only this topic to present to these people, to present from the Bhagavatam to these people? Because for those people who are coming from that background, to accept these dimensions, Vedic cosmology, it is a big leap of faith which they have to put. So it's not that we deliberately touch upon these topics to agitate the people's faith, and they will go more away actually. They will go more away from say Krishna consciousness. So we have to choose topics when we interact with the people, especially in the beginner level, topics which will help them to come close to Krishna, to take up some aspects of bhakti, make them appreciate the process of Krishna consciousness. But definitely at some point in the growth of a devotee, as a person keeps attending different classes, as a person starts reading Prabhupada's books, at some point they will come across these various topics which I mentioned. And when they come up, when they come across some topics which will agitate their conditioning, so at that time their faith will be challenged. So how can this be true? So especially when a person continues to maintain certain material identity, and when a person is continuing to maintain that material identity and is continuing to take pride in certain identity. So at that time, when he hears certain findings or certain conclusions of the Shastra on those topics, his faith will be challenged. For example, in the 1970s, when the moon landing thing was going on, so Prabhupada was in London or someplace, and then the moon landing was being telecast in the TV. And Prabhupada was maintaining that fact that they did not land on the moon. He was telling that these people are cheating. To go to the moon, one has to perform pious credits. One has to get pious credits, and then only one person can go to the moon. One cannot go by mechanical means, especially with these man-made airplanes. So when the moon landing was going on, Prabhupada was saying that, oh, these people have landed in some desert, it's not a moon. But the servant who was actually serving Prabhupada, for him it was a big jolt what Prabhupada is saying. Because he always maintained his faith in the scientists and the scientific findings. Although he took up to Krishna consciousness, although he accepted Prabhupada as the guru, but he maintained his attachment to his faith in the scientists, the scientific findings. So similarly, sometimes a person may take up Krishna consciousness, but still we may maintain certain attachments to certain previous conception coming from the materialists or from the non-Vedic sources. And at some point of time, those attachments and those conditionings will be challenged. Even if the preacher does not deliberately take up those topics, but at some point of time, in the course of actually reading Prabhupada's books, our conditioning will be challenged. So at that time, that will be the testing point of our faith. Do we want to continue the process of Krishna consciousness? We want to continue practicing bhakti, because there are people, there are devotees sometimes when they read fifth canto, some people coming from scientific background, when they read the fifth canto, their faith was challenged and they left the path of bhakti. That means they had maintained their attachment to their previous identity. So at that time, sometimes when those people's faith is challenged, we may not put pressure, or we may not emphasize, oh, you have to accept this conclusion only. Because the main topic of the Bhagavatam is glories of Krishna, the path of bhakti, how to develop love for Krishna. So we have to somehow encourage those people to continue follow the path of bhakti. So even if it means, okay, don't take this, we can even tell them, okay, don't take this topic seriously. If that person is unable to accept certain conclusions on the Vedic culture or this Vedic cosmology, so we can actually, we may not put highest emphasis to these topics, and somehow encourage them to make them continue to follow the path of bhakti. And in due course of time, when a person undergoes more purification, then he will be able to accept, he will be able to develop faith on these topics. And this approach is also adopted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a book on Krishna Samhita. So he wanted to present Srimad Bhagavatam for the English-speaking Western audience. So in that, for the Western audience, they have a certain idea of the history of the world. So the world was created, I think, 2000 or 4000 or 3000 years back or something like that, they have a certain idea, biblical idea. So they have their idea, but according to the Vedic scriptures, it's a cyclic creation. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Kali Yuga. So this idea of the Vedic creation, the history of the world, that will be very difficult for the people from the West to accept. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he wrote that book, he made a compromise on this particular history of the world, because he wanted to present some of the main topics of the Bhagavatam to the Western audience. So he directly went to those topics, even by compromising some of the history of the world. So in that sense, we have to know what are the main topics of the Bhagavatam, what are the auxiliary topics of the Bhagavatam. So when a person's faith is challenged because of hearing certain auxiliary topics, then we do not continue to emphasize on the auxiliary topics. We somehow encourage them to focus on the main topics. Because different people come from different blind islands. Blind island means, suppose a person is growing up in a particular island, he is born blind. And suppose all the people in that island, they are also born blind. They have never seen anything in their life right from the birth. Everyone in that island is actually a born blind person. And whomever they interacted were also blind people in their whole life. And suppose a person who is born blind, and one day he encounters a person. This person has come from another island, and he visits this island of the blind people. And this person has eyes, and he starts telling about the beauty of the nature, the beauty of the mountain, beauty of the rivers, beauty of the different types of flowers to one person in this blind island. And then at that time, because for the first time, he hears something about the description of the different things of the Lord's creation. Trees, flowers, rivers, mountains. And he had never heard such a description right from the birth. He had never seen that because he was born blind. None of the people whom he interacted, they never spoke about that. And for the first time when he hears such a description, that time his faith will be challenged. He will be thinking that, oh, this person is some crazy person who has come from somewhere else. How can this be true? How can there be some mountain? Because he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know there is a particular sense called eye. And with the eye, one can see something. Because he has never met people in his upbringing, people having the eyes. When suddenly somebody comes with the eyes, when he sees, he describes about the nature of the Lord's creation, at that time his faith will be challenged. He may think even this person is crazy. So just try to think about the situation. So at that time, so for the person who is from the blind island, he has to be little more open-minded. He has to be a little more open-minded in order to accept the words of the person with the eyes who is describing the beauty of the world, who has come from some other island. And from the point of view of the person who is describing the beauty of the Lord's creation, he should not get disturbed when people don't accept his description, when people say that you are crazy. So he has to be really creative in order to give the message across. He has to even choose those topics which the people can more easily accept than to describe only about the nature of the Lord's creation. So in that way, if you see, all of us, we are like a person who is coming from that blind island. blind island in terms of, suppose we may be brought up in a particular environment or a country or in a culture which is blind to the Vedic culture. And sometimes when we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, when we hear certain aspects of the Vedic culture, so at that time our faith will be challenged, because we are brought up in a certain blind environment. Or somebody is brought up in a certain educational system where he is blind to the certain Vedic truths or conclusions of the Vedic scriptures. So when he hears some of these dimensions of the Vedic cosmology, that time his faith will be challenged. In one way, different people, all of us, we come from different blind islands. We are blind to certain aspects of Vedic culture or Vedic education or different other things. So in these descriptions, especially some of these dimensions, they are so huge. Sometimes it is difficult to accept it. So Jiva Goswami says that, he gives the definition of Shraddha as Shraddha hi Shastrartha Vishwasa. Faith means having faith in the scriptures. In the Yaksha Prashna, one of the questions asked by Yaksha to Yudhishthira Maharaj is that who attains the everlasting hell? Actually, in the Sanatana Dharma, there is no everlasting hell. But sometimes this term is used, or who attains the hell for a long time? Who attains the everlasting hell? For that, Yudhishthira Maharaj gives three answers. And one of the answers he gives is that Vedeshu Dharma Shastreshu Mithya Yovai Vijatishu Deveshu Pitru Dharmeshu Sokshayam Narakam Rajet. So one who does not have faith, or one who considers the Vedas, Dharma Shastra, the Devatas, and the Shraddha rites to the Pitrus, one who considers these things to be false, such a person attains everlasting hell. So we see, so these statements are there in the Shastra. Even if we are not able to comprehend with our limited senses, we have to put faith in the statements of the Shastra. And sometimes, from one point of view, as I meant, like, to accept these statements, from another point of view, it is not so difficult, especially for those who don't come from the scientific background. Suppose somebody has studied modern astronomy for many, many years, and for him, these descriptions may be a challenge to his faith. For somebody who has not anyway put time, for him this description will not be a challenge to his faith. Maybe for many of us, somebody, some housewives or some different people, sir, one may wonder, I don't have difficulty in accepting these statements, because these things, they are not directly related to our life. So we may think, okay, I don't mind, this statement must be true. But more difficult than this is that sometimes certain difficult situations arise in our life. So at that time, to continue to put our faith in Krishna, so that can be a challenging situation. So there will be such situations which will arise in every person's life. For example, in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam, the Samudra Manthan, at the conclusion, Shukadeva Goswami says that Evam Sura Suragana Samadesha Kala Hetvartha Karma Matayopi Pale Vikalpa Tatramritam Suragana Palamanja Sapur Yat Pada Pankaja Raja Shayanana Daitya. So for the Devatas and Daityas, the place was same, time was same, the materials were same, both were engaged in the same activity, both were having the same determination, but still there were different results because the Devatas had faith in Lord Vishnu, but the demons, they did not have faith in Vishnu. So the Devatas, they may have material motivations to regain their power. They may be Karma Mishra Bhaktas. They may have material motivations, but they had a transcendental faith. They had a transcendental faith because, for example, the Samudra Manthan, in every stage they continued to maintain their faith in Vishnu, and in every stage to continue to maintain their faith in Vishnu was beyond logic actually. When the Vishnu told that, okay, you make the pact with the demons to churn the milk ocean, from logical point of view, it is difficult to put faith. How can we make pact with the demons? But they put faith in the words of Vishnu and they followed that. And at every step they encountered different obstacles. Mandara Parvat came, but they all actually got crushed under the Mandara Parvat. So they could have given up the endeavor, but then they continued to put their faith in Vishnu and Vishnu came and helped them. And even when the nectar came, the demons actually snatched away the nectar. But still the Devatas did not actually lose their faith in Vishnu. They put their faith in Vishnu. And then Lord came as a Mohini Murti and gave the nectar to the Devatas. So in that sense, the Devatas, although they had material motivations, but they had a transcendental faith, which is beyond logic. Their transcendental faith in Vishnu. Like another example of this faith is that when Earth was speaking to Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj was about to kill Earth. He had the bow and arrow ready. He was chasing the mother Earth, who had taken the form of a cow. And Earth was arguing with Prithu Maharaj, but Prithu Maharaj did not give up. He was determined to punish Earth. But the Earth actually, finally when she offered prayers, Earth said that previously you actually protected me when you appeared as Varahadev. You protected me by lifting me from the bottom of the Garbhodha Kosha. But now you are about to kill me. And this is something inconceivable. I am not able to understand this. And she says that the plan of the Lord cannot be understood by people whose minds are bewildered by his unconquerable Maya. And I offer respects to you who possess mutually contradictory energies. So many times the plan of the Lord is inconceivable, but the same person who protected us, but the same person is about to kill us. At that time, our faith will be challenged. But the mother Earth did not lose faith in Prithu. She says that your desire is not known to persons like the wives or the son of the Devatas, whose minds are bewildered by ignorance arising from various bodies we assume in this world, but who are surrendered to you. So I offer respects to he who brings fame to persons celebrated for charity. So Earth is saying that although you are about to kill me, but your desire is not known to people whose minds are bewildered by ignorance. So they may think that you are going to kill me, but I have faith in you that you will not kill me. I have faith that you will be merciful to me. So Mother Earth continued to put faith in the Prithu Maharaj. Although the same Lord in another form, saved her, but now the same Lord is about to chastise her, kill her, but Mother Earth is having that faith in the Lord. She did not lose that faith. And this faith is beyond logic, actually. This faith is beyond logic. So, and another example, Parishit Maharaj. Parishit Maharaj, he was protected by Krishna when he was in the womb of the mother. But now for a small mistake, he has been cursed by Sringi to die within 7 days. So at this time, in one sense, his faith can be challenged. The Lord is, how can the Lord allow? One may think that the Lord protected me when I am in the womb, but why the Lord is not protecting me now? Why the Lord is actually, why this curse has come to me to die within 7 days for a small mistake? But at that time, Parishit Maharaj, he did not question Krishna, but he considered that curse of Sringi to be like the Krishna who has come in the form of the curse. Tasyaiva me agasya paravareshu vyasakta chittasya grigeshu abhikshnam nirvedamulo vijashapa rupo yatra prasatto bayamashudatte. He said that for me, whose impure action was the sin of disrespecting an innocent Brahmana, and whose heart was very attached to family life, the Lord has come in the form of the Brahmana's curse. Dvijashapa rupo. So this continuing to have, in order to make me detached, the Lord has come in the form of the curse. So this faith is a transcendental faith. This cannot be explained with the material logic, actually. So when the mercy of the Lord comes from the front, it is easy to accept it. Mercy coming from the front means what? The mercy which is coming according to our expectation. So that is easy to accept it. And mercy coming from the side. Mercy coming from the side means something which is unexpected, but that which is pleasing to you. Suppose suddenly somebody comes and gives you certain Mahaprasad. So unexpectedly some Mahaprasad is coming, but it is pleasing to you. So some good Mahaprasad is coming. So this mercy coming from the side is also not difficult to accept. But mercy coming from the behind, that means something which is unexpected, which is not palatable to you, and in the least expected time, least expected place it is coming. So at that time, whether we accept that as a mercy of the Lord, that is the test of our faith. That is, to accept that as a mercy of the Lord, that requires transcendental faith. Like in the case of Parishit Maharaj, or in the case of Yarth, who was about to be chastised by Prithu Maharaj. So therefore, even Bhishma Dev told the Pandavas, Nakhyasya Karihichit Rajan Puman Veda Viditsitam Yad Vijignyasaya Yukta Mukhyanti Kavayopihi. Bhishma Dev said that no one can understand the plan of the Lord, because even those engaged in reasoning and scripture are bewildered by that inquiry. Because Bhishma Dev said that you Pandavas, you always practiced Dharma. You are great devotees of Krishna. And Dharma personified is there. And Bhima and Arjuna, the most powerful people are there. But despite that, despite the strength of Dharma, devotion and the power, still you underwent so many difficulties in your life. So how do we understand? So Bhishma Dev concludes, Nakhyasya Karihichit Rajan Puman Veda Viditsitam. No one can understand the plan of Krishna. So everyone agrees that nobody can interfere with the plans of Krishna. But no one can even understand what his plans are even today. Even Brahma and Shiva, they cannot understand the plan of the Lord. What to speak of me? This is what Bhishma Dev says. But then one may say, okay, nobody knows the plan of Krishna. but at least one must inquire about the plan of Krishna to find out what is his plan. Does Krishna want to give us suffering? Or does Krishna want to give us joy? Or does Krishna want to give us both suffering and happiness? One must inquire in this way. So Bhishma Dev says that even that inquiry, even those who are engaged in inquiry, reasoning and scripture, even they are bewildered with that inquiry. So therefore, one should simply use their intelligence. One should use one's energy and intelligence to execute the plan of Krishna. Sometimes even to understand the plan of Krishna will be difficult even after inquiry. So tasmadidam daiva tantram vyavasya bharata rishabha tasyanu vihito nata nata pahi prajaprabhu. Therefore, discerning that happiness and suffering is dependent only on Krishna, follow Krishna and protect the helpless citizens. So therefore, Bhishma Dev is saying that since the plan of Krishna is hard to understand, and even although Krishna is directly present in front of you, but still it is difficult to understand the plan of Krishna even after inquiring about with Krishna, because Krishna can give different answers. So more than wanting to know the plan of Krishna, we should actually execute the plan of Krishna. So therefore Bhishma Dev says that surrender to the Krishna's plan rather than understanding Krishna's plan. Yeah, we should know Krishna's plan, but the sense that why Krishna is planning like that, instead of focusing more on that, one should simply try to execute the Krishna's plan. So that requires a transcendental faith. There was one devotee, Shyam Vallabh Prabhu, Ayurvedic doctor. He suddenly actually died in an accident in Gorzaniko village. Sudhanath Radhanath Swami Maharaj was interacting with the devotees. Like, it was a sudden shock to the people in the community. So Maharaj mentioned, so people may know that why did it happen like that? Least expected time, suddenly the person died. A very short time, an accident. So one may know what is the plan of Krishna. So Maharaj mentioned that even wanting to understand the plan of Krishna is a desire to be God, because we want to be omniscient. Instead of wanting to sometimes understand the plan of Krishna, we should be more eager to execute the plan of Krishna. And we should have faith in the Krishna's words that Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati, that my devotee never perishes. Have faith in this Krishna's words and give the benefit of doubt to Krishna. And when you do that, one will become free from the Krishna will free us from the doubts. So even Brahma told Priyavrata, Brahma came to Priyavrata Maharaj. Priyavrata Maharaj was in the ashram of Narada Muni for a long time. He told Priyavrata Maharaj, the Lord wants you to become the king. At that time, Priyavrata Maharaj was not ready at all. He was thinking, why the Lord is wanting me to become the king? Because he had been living in the ashram of Narada Muni for a long time. So Brahma says at that time, Nibodha Tatedam Ritam Bravimi Masu Yutam Devam Arghas Yaprameyam Vayam Bhavaste Yesha Maharshir Vahama Sarave Vivasha Yasya Dishtam. He said that please reflect on this. I speak the truth. You should not hate the Lord who is beyond estimation. I myself, Shiva, Manu and Narada helplessly follow the order of the Lord. So Brahma is saying that don't hate me thinking that I'm trying to convince you to become the king. Don't hate me because my words are unfavorable or intolerable to you. Because I am also dependent on the Lord and I will speak about what he wants you to do. because the Lord's plan is, Lord's desire is that you become the king. Therefore, I'm speaking that. And consider this with your intelligence. So, please, that means, please understand that I am not your enemy who will make you suffer. And then Brahma says that, but then Priyavrat Maharaj may think that, okay, but then why the Lord is making me, wanting me to become the king? So Brahma says that, do not even hate the Supreme Lord, do not find fault with the Supreme Lord, thinking that the Lord with whom you are worshipping is trying to make you become the king, is actually trying to make you cast in the ocean of samsara. Because becoming the king means he has to leave his renunciant life and he has to completely get involved in so many affairs of the kingdom. So do not even hate the Lord, because the Lord is actually wanting you to become the king. So aprameyam, Lord cannot be estimated. You cannot logically understand sometimes the plan of the Lord. Sometimes the Lord may very quickly deliver a person who is engaged in so many actions in this world. That means Lord may quickly deliver a person who has taken up many responsibilities, worldly responsibilities of being a king, is dealing with money, women and management. The Lord may quickly deliver that person. On the other hand, the Lord may not quickly deliver another person who is completely leading the life of a renunciant who has given up and living in the forest. Because nobody can understand the plan of the Lord. Narhyasya karihichit rajan puman vera vilsitam. Sometimes people think that these people are full-time devotees, so they dedicated themselves for Krishna. So they are going back to Godhead immediately in this life, and we think like that. We are engaged in so much of affairs of this world. But the point is, you can never understand the plan of the Lord. The Lord may deliver some full-time devotee after 100 lifetimes. Sometimes he may deliver a person who is engaged in so many management, different aspects of this world, but who is trying to be Krishna conscious. He may deliver him in this life also. So that is the point Brahmaji is saying, that aprameyam. So Lord cannot be estimated. So therefore, instead of actually questioning the Lord, why the Lord is wanting me to become the king, just follow the will of the Lord. So like that, there are many instances in the Bhagavatam. I am not going to other instances. But the point is that there will be different situations in our life where our faith will be tested. For some people, the faith will be tested when they hear these descriptions. How can these descriptions be true? Especially for those people who are coming from the background of scientific background. For somebody else, like Priyavrat Maharaj, his test of faith in the Lord is when he was told to become the king. And Parishit Maharaj, his test in faith in the Lord is when he was cursed to die. Similarly, for the Pandavas and Mother Earth, who was being chastised by Mother Earth, Prithu Maharaj. So therefore, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur says that this particular section of the Bhagavatam is like a doorway before entering the holy name, that is Ajamil story. And that's all that I mentioned. So, we'll stop here. If anybody has any questions or comments, I will end the class.
Thank you,
Prabhu.
Thank you so much for this detailed class, Prabhuji. It was really very nice to take the inputs of transforming our thought process. And I like the point that we shouldn't be very eager to understand what is Krishna's plan. We should be eager to execute Krishna's plan. It was so helpful. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
I request if devotees have any questions, they can ask or raise their hands.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Gopinath Ki Jai. As usual, Prabhuji, very, very inspiring class. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, please accept our humble obeisances on behalf of all Vaishnava. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Gopinath Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very nice class, Prabhuji, like how we should have faith on the Lord. Gave so many examples from Bhagavatam about Parikshit Maharaj, then Prithu Maharaj. Then even I feel that even Prahlad Maharaj also had so much faith. What come maybe, but he was having so much faith on the Lord, whatever hassles his father did. So thank you so much for that. This faith aspect has to be there. And for myself, some classes in like exalted speakers, like when you say, so it's like again giving a bell to me, like, okay, we should have faith on the Lord, whatever it comes. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. It was such a very wonderful, detailed class.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble Hare Krishna Prabhu. Please accept my humble obeisances, Prabhu. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Prabhu, it is so beautiful when you are like, you know, saying about the faith. But as a sadhaka, how do we get that faith? Is it something we are born with, or this is something we can develop, Prabhu?
So the faith is kept person receives the faith from the devotee of Krishna. Actually, the faith is like a seed. Faith is like a seed. There are different types of seeds available. Somebody gets a seed of karma bija. Karma bija means somebody gets a seed, okay, by performing fruitive activities, a person can be happy. Or somebody gets a seed that, okay, by making scientific advancement, a person can become happy. So like that, various ideas, various conceptions, various ideas are available when we interact with the different people in our life. When we, at that time, when we accept those ideas, then we get those seeds. So similarly, when we come to spiritual life, when a person comes in contact with say pure devotee or a representative of pure devotee, then a person gets the seed of the Bhakti Lata Bija. Even in the spiritual field also, there may be various different types of seeds are available. So some people may say that perform bhakti to this particular deity. Oh, this deity is so powerful, he will fulfill all the desires. Whatever you may desire, he will fulfill. So they may be giving the seed of the Karma Mishra Bhakti. If you perform bhakti, all your material desires will be fulfilled. So, but when a person comes in contact with a pure devotee or his representative, so then what we receive is the Bhakti Lata Bija, the seed for pure bhakti. So when a person receives that particular seed, then we have to carefully water that seed. And that watering process is the process of hearing and chanting. And not only we have to water that seed, we also have to protect that growth of the seed by putting a fence, because sometimes the creeper can be attacked by certain animals. So we have to protect that growth of the Bhakti Lata seed by putting a proper fence. That means we have to guard against the offenses. And also sometimes along with the growth of the seed, sometimes there are weeds also grow along with the growth, along with the plant. And the weeds actually strangle the growth of the original creeper. So therefore, we have to be watchful for those weeds. And we have to identify those weeds. And we have to uproot those weeds from the root. Sometimes if we simply cut the weeds, again they will grow. We have to identify the weeds and uproot those weeds from the root. So there are some different habits which we may have, a certain anarthas which are there, when we are actually watering the Bhakti Lata Bija, these weeds also are growing. So therefore, we have to identify those weeds. The weeds can be different other conceptions which we may have. And those have to be identified and they have to be uprooted. So, and this is how the Bhakti Lata creeper grows. So the watering process is the process of Bhakti Yoga, especially starting with hearing and chanting, associating with the devotees. And but while watering it, we also have to be careful of the weeds and we have to put a fence also.
So Prabhu, the what I understood, I had a follow-up question also. Do you have time, Prabhu?
Yes.
Yeah. So what I understood from your answer that the faith is there and then it develops into stronger faith, where comes a point like how Mataji was mentioning, like Prahlad Maharaj, no matter what come, we'll continue having faith in Krishna. Is it so, Prabhu?
We receive the faith from the devotee. It's not, we receive the faith from the devotee when we hear Srila Prabhupada's books, or when we hear from the teachings of the devotees who come in the bona fide sampradaya, we receive the faith. And then we have to water that faith. We have to water that seed of Bhakti Lata Bija, and we have to protect that growth of the creeper by putting the fence. That means we have to guard against offenses. And we have to identify the weeds and uproot the weeds. That means the wrong habits have to be identified, which are unfavorable for the growth of the bhakti practices. They have to be identified and they have to be uprooted. So the faith is received by hearing from the devotees. Just like when a person hears from different people, one receives a different types of faith. So there are different types of seeds are there, but the seed of Bhakti Lata Bija, this seed is nothing but the faith, and this faith is received by hearing from the devotees who are representatives of the acharyas, the pure devotees.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. So my follow-up question was like, we have such repose, right? This lust, anger, greed, pride, all these things are there. And then we speak about anarthas. So are the anarthas born out of our this such repose or the six enemies?
Yes, these are the six anarthas. Kama, krodha, lobha, mada, matsarya.
So the anarthas,
they manifest in different ways. These are the six anarthas.
So we can interchangeably use the anarthas for the repose, right? The enemies, they talk. It's the same thing. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, anarthas are the enemies.
Okay.
They can be utilized. Okay. They can be dovetailed in the service of Krishna. Kama and krodha can be, one can be anger for Krishna. The kama, krodha, they can be utilized as a salt. That means we can use that as an instrument for the service of Krishna. But one should not fall victim to those anarthas. We can spiritualize those anarthas by being angry for Krishna. When like Mahaprabhu became angry when Nityananda Prabhu was offended. But we have to, otherwise we should not fall victim to these anarthas.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very grateful. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes.
I just wanted to comment on what Mataji said. I mean, my faith has not grown super, but you know, this is something that just struck me that, you know, will I grow in my height as from childhood, from like, you know, if I'm a baby, will I grow into an adult size? Yes, I will grow if I have a healthy diet. So similarly, if you have healthy Krishna consciousness, the way Prabhupada said, the way all those points that you said, we will surely grow in our faith. So, you know, it's just time and healthy practices. So this is what I wanted to share that came to my mind. It will come, that faith will happen organically. And Radha Gopinath Prabhu says, you know, lage raho. We have to keep doing our Krishna consciousness regularly. That faith slowly, steadily, it will keep growing. So, yeah, I'm sorry, you know, I was not entitled to say anything. But
no. I felt, okay. Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I just had a follow-up question to Anuradha Mataji's question, where you had mentioned that, you know, along with that creeper also grows the weeds and that we have to uproot them. So I was hoping that you could tell us the best way to uproot those weeds. How do we get rid of them? What is the best way for us to do that?
Best way is basically not to maintain those attachments, those habits. It is identify those weeds which are strangling which are creating obstacle for the Bhakti Lata Bija. Identify them and then just uproot them. That means like we have to give up those habits with the determination.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So I think I'll stop here. Thank you very much.
I will pay obeisance to Prabhuji and all Vaishnavas.
धन्यवाद प्रभुजी.
थैंक यू सो मच प्रभुजी. दैट वाज सो ब्यूटीफुल पॉइंट. यू नॉट टू अंडरस्टैंड कृष्णास प्लान, बट दिस वेरी ऑसम. थैंक यू सो मच प्रभुजी.